In a global industry where anything can happen, where mistakes cost much more than dollars, we bring you expertise from around the world to ensure that everyone goes home safe every day. The internationally acclaimed Oil and Gas HSE podcast starts now with your host, Russell Stewart.
Hey, everybody. As always, thanks for listening. The Oil and Gas Global Network, OGGN, is the world's leading oil and gas podcast provider, and it's only because of your support, and we really do appreciate it. I'd remind you, you can go to oggn.com where you can see all of our podcasts that are listed there, and we're always looking for sponsors for those podcasts to showcase your companies on our shows, and so reach out to us when you want to do that. This is the HSE podcast, as that lovely little British voiceover says in the introduction to the show. It is definitely international in scope. You can tell that by her accent as she introduces the show, and then my Texas accent comes on there. So we definitely have the international flair. It's top-rated podcast, as I always say, not because of the host, but because of the quality of guests that we have on here today. And in fact, for those of you who are very familiar with my quote about he who tooteth not his own horn may never hear his own horn tooted, I'm not ashamed to toot my own horn and also to toot the horn of the guests who come on here. But let me read you a review from someone about the show. Actually, it was, last spring. It said, "Hey, Russell, just wanted to send a quick note to say thank you for the connection and also for the Oil and Gas HSE podcast. Love your innovative and forward-thinking way of approaching things and appreciate your to-the-point mentality in an overly noisy world we're in nowadays. Keep up the great work, sir, and I hope to connect with you personally next time I'm in the Houston area." And that particular person was signed off as "God bless Nate," and I got to meet Nate, and come to find out, Nate is my guest on the show today. I'm very excited, and we've been trying to do this since last summer, but I'm very excited to have on the show Nathan Hammer. Nathan, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, Russell, thanks for having me. I'm not going to lie, I forgot I sent that. It's been a while back, but when you started reading that, I was thinking, man, that kind of sounds like me. So, yeah, I'm glad we've been able to connect, and like I said back then, the same is true now. I appreciate what you're doing for the industry, and keep up the good work, man. You're doing awesome.
Well, it may sound shameless on my part, which is why I always use that quote about the tooting your own horn thing, but coming from someone like you, that really meant a lot to me, because Nathan, you're considered to be definitely an EHS expert or HSE expert, but I'm a little confused. Let's flesh that out a little bit for the audience before we get into our conversation. So you're the co-founder of Trunkline Incorporated in Midland, Texas. You're the founder of PSR SkySense and VP Environmental Quality and Technologies at Premier Safety Resources in Cushing, Oklahoma, Baytown, Texas, Midland, Texas, and Fort Smith, Arkansas. Nathan, how many Nathans are there of you?
Well, you know, you say you're confused, Russell. That's me 24/7, 365. I always I always joke with people and say the exact same thing there. But yeah, so I do have a few hats going on. All good things. So let me kind of preface this with who I am as a human being and kind of my mentality on all the moving parts that I have going on. So age is just a number, but I am 35. And I say that because I'm in between generations right now, right? So the older generation, a lot of folks aren't in the technology side of things. They really don't care to implement it. On the other hand, you know, the folks that's the generation below me, if they can't do it from their phones, they probably don't want to do it. So my whole career has been around, what can I do as an EHS professional to kind of help bridge that gap and meet in the middle? There's a lot of wisdom in the older folks out there that's in the industry, the ones that have had the boots on the ground and spent the time out in the field getting the work done. And I want to do what I can to help take that wisdom to the younger generation as best as possible. So with that being said, a little bit about PSR. So PSR, that's Premier Safe Resources in Cushing. That's our main training facility and office. That's where I'm in the Cushing area. But we do have locations in Midland. You mentioned it. I'm not going to go through all that again. But actually, we just added a Houston location as well that we're rolling out.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all not public yet. But yeah, that's kind of where that's at. And then, PSR, we do, you know, mostly pipeline safety consulting and operator qualifications. But we also do environmental and safety consulting, on-site services and training, things of that nature. So PSR SkySense, that's a service division of PSR, and it's our drone services division. And so back in 2017, and I know you just had a podcast episode with another drone guy.
I did, yeah, sure did.
So that was pretty neat to hear that. But yeah, so back in 2017, I got really heavily involved in drones. And again, going back to the technology things, you know, this is the future. Drones are the future. And so, yeah, we have drone services. We can do, you know, mapping and all that good stuff. Have some in-house technology that we've developed to help with that data. And so it's funny, you know, growing up, I always thought the stigma behind having a job is, oh, got to go to work and got to go do the 40-hour week grind or whatever. But, you know, drones and people, you know, those are two things that really get me up and going and get me motivated to get work done and do good for society. So that's the PSR, the two divisions there. And then Trunkline, I officially accepted the co-founder title about 8 months ago now. But yeah, so Trunkline is in Midland, Texas. Joseph Krasta is the president and founder of Trunkline. It's an online industrial marketplace where vendors can showcase their work. And we have a few big, awesome announcements coming up for Trunkline. I can't really talk about right now. We're still in some final stages there. But yeah, lots of fun things going on, man. I enjoy mostly every minute of it. And, you know, I'm blessed to be where I'm at with my family, with my faith, and with my career. So,
well, that's great. Okay. So, you know, if you look at your profile on LinkedIn, you're rated as a top environmental engineering voice. I see a lot of your posts on LinkedIn. You also have a newsletter, right? Is that part of Premier Safety Resources, the newsletter?
Yes, sir. So it is tied into PSR. It's called, I don't know that I've ever said this out loud. It looks good on paper, but it's regular ATORI compliance. So the idea there is, you know, making regulatory compliance a regular thing. That's kind of a dad joke slash it kind of actually makes sense. So we kind of, you know, we just talk about a lot of industry insights, you know, and kind of give all free, obviously, tips and tricks on how to, whether you're an EHS professional or if you're, you know, a smaller business that might not be able to afford an EHS manager, some tips and things in there that, that can help folks there. So yeah, it's on my LinkedIn page. Just search for Nathan Hammer. And, you know, we're always trying to add value first to people.
And is that how you sign up for it? Go there and sign up for it. Okay.
Yes, sir. Just search for Nathan Hammer and click on there's a little newsletter button and subscribe. It's totally free. There's nothing you have to sign up for other than the newsletter. You know, we're not going to spam you with a bunch of crazy emails or anything. So.
Okay. All right. Well, I noticed a couple of, you kind of explore a wide range in that newsletter, which was one of the things that caught my attention. One of the recent articles, you talked about some reporting requirements for EHS chemical regulatory compliance, EPCRA Tier 2 reporting for EHS chemical regulatory compliance. There was another article. Of course, this is the one that was kind of just caught my attention near and dear to me. But you had something in a newsletter about how to beat complacency as an EHS professional.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
You remember the key points on that?
Yeah. So the first one you mentioned, chemical inventory. So EPCRA, that stands for Emergency Planning and I think Community Right to Know. Anyway, it's part of the EPA environmental law. And what it is, it's a tier two report. It's annually required for certain facilities that store certain chemicals. So, you know, you look at like a field service company, for instance, if they have a bunch of lubol stored on site or some chemicals they use out in the field to do cleaning out at an oil field site, if you store more than certain amounts of that chemical, you have to submit a tier two report. And the idea behind it for tier two is to give, you know, emergency responders location information and chemical information about what's on site. And then they'll know what they're getting into if you do have an emergency. They can pull their tier two up and use that for, you know, whether it's where to go on site, where to stay away from on site if you have certain chemicals. So, yeah. And I think that article talked about this 10,000 pound threshold. And real quick on that, you know, a lot of folks think that this 10,000 pound threshold is the catch-all number where, you know, in reality, and in the law says you can't, you know, 10,000 pounds is one of the thresholds, but there's a lot of other thresholds for EHS chemicals, which is extremely hazardous chemicals. And so a lot of folks say, oh, we don't have 10,000 pounds of that. You know, we don't have to report it. Well, you know, you need to make sure that you're looking at your chemicals and the constituents that's inside those chemicals and looking at the percentage of those constituents of the chemicals on site, because that's where folks get in trouble, is they just kind of make this assumption that the 10,000 pound threshold is it, whereas it's not. So
as far as regulatory compliance goes, you've actually got 16 years of hands-on experience in field services, construction, operations, maintenance, technology, and environmental safety compliance. And you're familiar with all these organizations. I know what the US EPA is. I know what OSHA is. I know what DOT is. And then another one is PHMSA. What is that?
PHMSA. Yeah. So that's the Pipeline Hazardous Materials Safety. Yep. So, you know, it's part of the DOT, Department of Transportation. DOT regulates anything hazardous in transportation. So, you know, whether it's rail or semis, in this case, it's pipeline. So it's kind of the overarching regulatory body for pipeline safety.
Well, there you go, folks. So we've brought you a real expert in all this. And if you need a good resource for regulatory compliance, we're providing you one right now. Let's go back to this article we were talking about, how to beat complacency as an EHS professional. That area is kind of near and dear to your heart, isn't it? Because you're kind of a strong believer in the blue collar workforce and small business, right?
Yes, sir. That's exactly right. And I'm not going to get into politics here. You know, everybody has their own opinion, but I will say there has been a lot of newer environmental regulations and proposed regulations come out recently that I think a lot of smaller operators and smaller businesses are going to go out of business because of the requirements inside of those regulations, whether it's because you have to invest so much money into certain technologies or some of the regs, you know, regulations and rules are just so overreaching that the smaller businesses might not be able to afford to do what these regulations require, right? So it's a very important time in the industry for folks to be aware of these regulatory changes and preparing for, you know, what's in the pipeline. So whether it's a field service company or a smaller oil and gas operator, a smaller midstream, you know, company, we just need to make sure that we, as in environmental health and safety and, you know, pipeline safety professionals, are staying ahead of the game and staying ahead of these laws and making sure that they don't bite you in the rear and making sure that we get a good compliance schedule put together for your operations and, you know, making sure that all your deadlines are set in concrete and you have a good schedule put together on your compliance initiatives and what you got to do to be in compliance with these new laws and regulations. And going back to the blue collar, you know, workforce thing, you're exactly right. You know, blue collar workforce is what built this country, and small business is what built this country. And that's what's going to keep it going, is small businesses and blue collar workforce. And I'm doing my best personally and professionally to get rid of this stigma about blue collar workers and, you know, really telling people that it's an awesome career to get into. There's nothing wrong with getting your hands dirty at work, and you can make a really good living doing blue collar work, and it all ties together. You know, at the end of the day, we're all in this industry together. We're all the same. We all put our pants on the same way in the morning, and we all have the same thing to go to every night back home to, right? So,
and back home safe.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right. So there's so much political divisiveness right now, and we just all need to make sure that we put our differences aside and work together to get through this onslaught of regulations that's coming down the pipeline.
You know, you said a while ago you don't want to get political, and if we're talking about complacency, I'm afraid maybe that's one of the places where we have become complacent, and it's come to bite us on the butt, so to speak. I don't know how we got to the point. You know, if you're these small businesses you're talking about, and you're talking about, I mean, this, it's just this current administration is anti oil and gas. There's just no, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, they to a ridiculous extent. I mean, I don't know how any of us can be afraid to say that this ban on you know, liquefied natural gas that they've come up with, you know, that's just, it's awful. And it may be time we became political.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No. Go ahead.
I agree 100%. You know, you look at us here in America, we have the most stringent environmental laws and stringent, you know, regulatory oversight and compliance and laws, that it's literally bottleneck in manufacturing here in America. And that's just a matter of, I mean, that's just the facts. There's nothing, you can't tell me any different. A coal power plant is a good example. You know, we here in the U.S. have 219 coal power plants. And you look at China, you know, last I saw the number, it was 3,400 or something. And they're still building them like crazy.
Yes, they are.
China could care less about the environment and their emissions. All they care about is their bottom dollar and the money that's coming in. Well, you look at America here and look at our manufacturing, it's down to nothing comparatively. But now you look at, okay, we're not manufacturing goods here. Where are we doing it at? Okay, I don't know the percentage of what comes from China, but it's a lot. And you can't just magically make something from China appear in America without using fossil fuels to get it here. You know, so that's one thing, is the transportation of getting those products from China to here. But take it a step further, China has no environmental law or oversight like we do. So you have, you know, all of your chemical and petrochemical, you know, products being manufactured over in China, and it's all dirty. You know, you talk about clean energy, that's here in America. Our LNGs, our liquefied natural gas, and our natural gas period, and anything fossil fuel, it's the cleanest that you'll find in the world. And we need to stop putting manufacturing bottlenecks on manufacturing and instead hold other countries accountable to operate like we do. And that's what's going to help this quote unquote climate change baloney that these people are talking about. It ain't us. I can promise you that.
You're exactly right. For those of you listening out there, go find the picture. I think it was posted on LinkedIn sometime within the last few months, but it's a picture of a drilling site, a drilling pad. And it really is a nice, you know, pristine site. And then right next to it is a picture of a mining site where they're mining for all of the things that they need to make batteries for electric cars. And it's, you know, it looks worse than any coal strip mining sites you've ever seen in your life, you know? So,
well, I can promise you, you go look at a mining site for these electric vehicles. You know, you can't get the horsepower that you need to dig all that up without fossil fuels. So
that's true.
Yeah. I just don't understand. Like, I'm not the sharpest crayon in the box or whatever the old saying is, but you know, I do have a little common sense, and that's not very common nowadays. And common sense tells me that you're peeing up wind. It just doesn't make sense to me how you think that electric battery is going to replace fossil fuels. It's just not possible. You know, people don't realize the products that's made from fossil fuels and petrochemicals.
Oh, absolutely not. Just to show you the irony of it, I actually listened to a presentation here a couple of weeks ago, and it was a picture of an electric vehicle being charged. I think it was over in Australia, and the charging station was being powered by a diesel generator. That's the honest to goodness truth. Then I saw another in this same presentation. There was a picture of a Tesla, which I have nothing against Tesla. I understand they're really fun cars to drive. And in fact, I'm working on having the Tesla HSE guy on the podcast. And I'm very excited about that.
Hey, awesome. That would be cool.
Yeah. His approach, he actually doesn't come from the oil and gas industry, and I'm always interested in, to me, safety is not, it's not proprietary. That was the title of one of my podcasts when I had the North America director of HSE for Halliburton on there, and they talked about their willingness to to share with everybody else what they were doing in order to keep their workers safe. And it's not proprietary, and it's also not just all industries are a part of it. And so anytime I can learn from maybe a different perspective from a different industry. So I'm excited about having him come on the show, but there was a Tesla, and it was in Colorado, and it had a personalized license plate, and the personalized license plate said no oil. And the guy was showing the picture there, and he said, okay, no tires, no plastic components of the car. You know? Mm-hmm. And then he said, no knowledge. That's where we are. But anyway, we'll get off of our bandwagon there and get back to, I want to close out our conversation here, going back to where we began. I really appreciated what you said about with your age being where it is, you feel like maybe you're kind of in the middle. You got the old guys like me who've been in the industry, you know, for a long time. Then you got all these, I mean, literally you have 24, 25, 26 year olds, you know, with good, strong degrees from, you know, top notch schools and that sort of thing. But at that age with, you know, little experience, they're in charge of some of these multi-million-dollar drilling projects and pipeline projects and everything else involved in upstream, midstream, downstream. And you got a lot of us guys, you know, kind of exiting stage right. So this bridging the gap, and especially as it relates to technology, talk a little bit about that for me.
Yeah. So going back to what you just mentioned, I want to first say that the younger, you know, workforce, I would encourage anybody, regardless of age, but, you know, especially the younger workforce, I would encourage them to go spend time out in the field, put some gloves on, put your steel toes on, and go work with these guys that have been turning valves for 40 years and that probably built the pipeline that you're working on, you know, 40, 50 years ago. Go spend time with them and just soak in all of the knowledge that you can and really take notes on that knowledge and research the knowledge and soak it up and really figure out how to put that into your daily lives, not just at work, but at home. There's a lot of wisdom there. But with technology, always be looking for ways to do something more efficient in your career and by using technology. And that's, I know that's super broad, but there's so many technology options out there. Don't go looking for a solution until you know what the problem is that you're having that you need help with to fix. You know, me personally, if I'm looking at a technology, if I don't have an end goal in mind, I'll get on a rabbit trail and I'll be looking at all kinds of different technologies that has nothing to do with the problem that I'm trying to solve. So really focus in on what you're trying to fix and use that to leverage your decision making for the technology.
That's a good place to pin it right there. Nathan, I know we you talk about going down rabbit trails with technology. Maybe we went down some rabbit trails, you know, on HSE, but I hope everybody who listens to this podcast has enjoyed the conversation as much as I've enjoyed having this conversation with you. I've looked forward to it for a long time. I don't know why it took us so long to hook up, but we both just got busy and that sort of thing. But it's really been a pleasure. Now, you said you live in Cushing?
I actually live in Stillwater, which is about a half an hour from Cushing. Yes, sir. But Cushing's our office, and that's where I'm at. So,
is that because of the storage facility at Cushing, or is that just that didn't have anything to do with it, or what?
No. So Cushing is considered the pipeline crossroads of the world. And so,
right,
you know, our bread and butter here at PSR is, again, pipeline safety.
All right. Got you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So when you open up this office in Houston, you be sure and holler at me. We're going to go have lunch.
10-4, man. That sounds awesome. And you do the same if you're ever up in Cushing.
All right. I definitely will. As always, to everybody else out there, thanks for listening. Nathan, again, thank you for coming on. And please leave us a review, post us on all your social media, tell your friends about us, and tune in again next week. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Russell. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Tune in next week for another engaging episode of the Oil and Gas HSE podcast, a production of the Oil and Gas Global Network. Learn more at oggn.com.